morning. Well, I thought about talking about procrastination, but I decided to put it off for later. I thought Derek would appreciate that one. I honestly did think about talking about it, but I'm going to start with a small story. Once upon a time, there was a man, his wife, and his child that lived in a small hut in a small village, and his father-in-law and mother-in-law fell on hard times. So his father-in-law and mother-in-law decided to move into their hut with them. And they were just totally unhappy with the situation. It was cramped. So they decided to go see the village wise man. What do we do? Oh, easy. Bring the dog inside. Come back in a week. They do this, and they come back in a week, and things are way worse. What do we do now? Bring the chickens in. It'll get better. Come back in a week. A week later, they come back and things are—they're getting bad. They're getting very, very bad. We need your help. What do? Bring the cow in. Come back in a week. So they do, and things are worse than ever. Things are getting torn apart in the house. There's no room. The cow's in the bed all the time. So they go back to the wise man. He's like, "Okay, take the cow out. Come back in a week." They do. Things are a little bit better. They go back to see him. Take the chickens out. They do. And all right, things are getting... They're okay now. They go back to see him a week later. Take the dog outside. They do. All of a sudden, there is a lot of room in this hut. And they are perfectly happy and content with their situation. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm going to talk a little bit about contentment today. Being the definition of contentment is a state of happiness or satisfaction with either your situation, what you have, or where you are. I believe this topic, contentment, plays a vital role in the happiness and the fulfillment that you get out of your life. Contentment in a world that's constantly bombards us with messages of more. You have to have more. You have to have better. Or bigger. Finding contentment can feel like a monumental task. There's never enough. But I believe it's not only possible, but it's essential for our spiritual and emotional well-being. Think about it for a moment. How often do you find yourself wanting? I want this. I know my girls know this. Everyone's got a bubble. I want this. Dad, can we have this? I want this. Wanting something more. Wanting a bigger house. Wanting a better car. Or the latest gadget. I'm just as guilty of this as anyone else. There are all sorts of things that I would love to have. You may want more success or more recognition in your career or community. I could stand up here and burn my entire time just listing things that people may want. When we don't have these things, we often feel a sense of lack, a sense of dissatisfaction or even unhappiness. We compare ourselves to others. In the modern age, fueled by social media and a culture obsessed with appearances, and we feel like we're falling short of the norm. This constant striving for something more creates a cycle of discontent, a feeling that we're never truly enough, and that we'll never have enough. But what does God say about this? Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13 says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. That was Paul. Now, Paul is a man who faced immense hardships. This dude did not have an easy life. He was not living in the life of lap of luxury, at least not after he was converted. Maybe beforehand. But he faced imprisonment, persecution, and he speaks of learning to be content. He wasn't content because he had everything he wanted. He was content because he had Christ. He found his satisfaction, his fulfillment, not in material possessions or worldly success. He actually gave that up. Paul was pretty well set before. But in his relationship with God, he understood that true contentment isn't about having everything, but about being grateful for what you do have. So how do we cultivate this sense of contentment in our own lives? Do we just decide, I'm going to be content? You can, in certain situations, but it's just like most things in our lives. It's a journey, it's not a destination, it's something you have to work towards. And it requires a conscious effort. You have to put the work in to get the result. Paul himself said in Philippians, I learned. This wasn't something that he just had. He learned it. He learned to be content. We can learn contentment as well. Let's take a moment and examine some keys that could unlock the door to a more content and peaceful heart. I don't even remember how many points I have now. I think it's 5. The first one is gratitude. This is perhaps the most important ingredient in being content. Take time each day to reflect on the blessings in your life. How has God blessed you? It could be something as simple as, I'm grateful I have a roof over my head today. It could be being thankful for the food that's on your table. Not just saying the prayer thanking for it, but actually being grateful that you have food. The love of your family and friends, or even simply admiring the beauty that God created in nature. I've heard Derek talk before about keeping a gratitude, I think it's a gratitude journal or something along that line. You could keep a gratitude journal. Or even something as simple as praying a prayer of thankfulness. Or even taking a few moments just to mentally list the things that you're grateful for. Focusing on what you have shifts your perspective away from what you lack. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants us to be grateful. He wants us to be thankful and continually thankful for the blessings that he has given us, not constantly wanting more and being displeased with what he has given us. Number 2 is perspective. Remember that things are not always as they seem. That perfect family on Facebook? I hate Facebook. I refuse to use social media. That's a whole other thing. I won't go off on that. But that perfect family on Facebook, they have their struggles too. That seemingly successful coworker or friend that seems to have it all together, they more than likely are battling their own insecurities and problems of their own that you know nothing about. Don't compare your behind-the-scenes life to your behind-the-scenes life to someone else's highlight reels. They have the same problems. Moreover, remember the eternal perspective. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This life, with all its ups and downs, is temporary. Keep your eyes fixed on the eternal. Keep your eyes fixed on the eternal reward that awaits us all. It doesn't matter what we have here. It can't compare. It can't compare with the gift or what God has set in store for us in eternity. Number three is giving. Sometimes the best way to find contentment is to focus on giving to others. Focus on what somebody else needs instead of what you think you need. Serving those in need, volunteering your time, offering a helping hand, or simply listening to someone who's struggling can be incredibly fulfilling. When we focus on the needs of others, we often find that our own problems aren't that bad. It kind of puts things back into perspective. A problem that seems huge when you're dealing with it or focusing on your own doesn't seem so big if you help somebody else. Proverbs 11 and 25 says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Weird. Focusing on others helps us. Helping others, even in small ways, can help us realize we don't have it so bad. It can reset our perspective, going back to the second point, and help us feel more content with where we are and what we have. Number four, simplicity. Somehow Emma and I got off on the topic the other day of minimalism. Is that it? Yeah, minimalistic things. Simplifying. I used to carry a trifold wallet for ages, and that thing would get fat because I would put everything in this wallet, and then it's just like, why? I don't use 90% of this. Now I carry this. It carries just what I need, and that's all. I've been doing that for years, and I don't miss the trifold at all, and I think all the stuff I didn't carry is still in it. But I don't know where it is. Obviously, I needed that wallet. Simplicity. Consider simplifying your life. Do you really need all those things that you think you do? Do you guys have an area in your house that's a catch-all? I have a spot on the end of my counter, which is where I come in the door, and that's where I sit stuff down. Everything I sat there at one point was super important, and I absolutely had to have those things. I cleaned it off yesterday. There's a very small pile of things that I kept, and the rest of it's in a garbage bag. I didn't need any of it. So do you really need all those things that you think you do? And I have a whole house full of stuff I thought I needed that needs to join that garbage bag. Can you declutter your home? Can you declutter your schedule? I don't like schedules. Aaron keeps my schedule. I keep a work one, kind of. But can you declutter your schedule? I like it being open. I like having options. I like being able to do what I want to do. But can you take some of these things off? How about your mind? Can you declutter your mind? Living a simpler life allows you to focus on what truly matters. Your relationship with your spouse, your children, your church, and your friends. More time to focus on your faith, more time to focus on your own well-being. Matthew 6 and 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If our priorities are right and we keep first things first, it's kind of funny, the other things that are less important seem to fall in place on their own. Live a simple life. Number 5, faith. Ultimately, contentment comes from trusting in God's provision and remembering that He loves you. Knowing that He is in control even when things are difficult and that He has our best interests at heart can bring immense peace and contentment to your life. Lean on Him in times of uncertainty and remember that He will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13 and 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." No matter what, as long as we have faith and obey God, we will always have Him. What else do you need? Contentment is not a passive state. It's an active choice. If you leave yourself in the passive, you always won. Always. You have to actively choose to be happy with where you are and what you have. The situation that you're in. It's something we have to work at. Something we have to learn. It's a daily decision to focus on gratitude, to maintain perspective, to give generously, to simplify our lives, and to trust in God. It's a journey that requires perseverance and a willingness to challenge the messages of society telling us that we're lacking or need something more or better. So I encourage you this week to take some time to reflect on your own level of contentment. Are you truly satisfied with what you have? Are you constantly chasing something more? What steps can you take to cultivate a more content heart? Be patient with yourself and remember that God is with you on this journey and He loves you. This world doesn't seem to have what you need. It seems like there should be something more. You're not content with this world. That's funny. I'm talking about contentment now. I'm going to tell you to be discontent. You're right. This world can't give you what you need. If you desire peace and contentment, the world will always fall short. Only with God will you experience true peace and contentment. If this is something you want, come to Him and let Him work in your life. Let Him give you what the world cannot. Contentment will only come through Him. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.